Hello, Staffordshire Police.
Hello again and welcome back to The Beat, the voice of Staffordshire Police, and to part two of our conversation with our specials coordinator, Sue Bohannon. Sue, we've already heard so much in part one about what brought you into the specials and your life and career in the force so far, but something that I'm desperate to hear about, and this has been the talk of Police HQ in recent weeks. I can see you looking at me very, very shyly. You know what we're going to come to is the amazing job that you did in stopping a crime from taking place. So I'm not going to spoil it too much. I'm going to hand it over to you to tell us exactly what happened.
Right. Yes. Then I've had quite a few comments about this, quite a bit of ribbing. But beginning of December, I was going down to my local shop in Nosall called the Co-op. As I got towards a small roundabout, there was a car pulled on the side. Well, I've worked in the inquiry offices for 15 years, and then I got all my specials training. This car was parked in quite an unusual spot, and straight away I thought, well, that's a bit strange. And there was three males outside of this car. So I kind of thought, right, okay, and then never thought any more of it. Went to the co-op to get my paper, as I normally do. They said the papers weren't in, so I went round, I went to go out and I forgot the milk, so I went back in, went round and got the milk. As I went to the counter, these three males come barging in. They were in their mid-30s, went to the alcohol aisle and started taking spirits off the shelf and put them in their bag for life. And I thought, oh yeah, and automatically the body language just said, I bet you're not going to pay for this. So I know that we've had a couple of raids on the co-op before and that the staff can't actually challenge them. So I thought, I was really angry at this point because I thought, how dare you do that to the shop in a local community? So I went to the door and I thought, right, I'll challenge them. So I went to the door and they come up and we ended up in a little bit of a fight, of which one of them actually said to me, don't you punch my friend. And I thought, hang on a minute, I'm a 60-year-old female and you're telling me not to punch your friend and you've just stolen all this alcohol. Anyway, I got to I was there and I thought, there's three of them now, I'll give them a bit of a challenge. I thought, I better let them go now. So they went out onto the forecourt and they were running around like headless chickens on the forecourt because I think I'd kind of put them off what they were doing and they didn't know where they were or anything. And then all of a sudden they shot across the road. Well, I knew where their car was, so I shot off after them and I was right behind them and they didn't have time to get in the car, so they went off down onto the playfields, which is about half an acre. And I think they thought that I was going to go chasing after them, but I knew that their car was there. So the co-op lady was behind me and I said to her, you stop with the car. And I walked up the bank and kept pushing them right up the field. And it was cold and a bit misty and they could see me and they kept going up the field. Well, the farther I was pushing them up, the less they knew where they were. Once I got into the top of the field, I ran back towards the car because the lady had been on her own. Whilst on the way up the field, I phoned our force control room and I spoke into the dispatcher and said to her, look, we just had a raid on the co-op. I've got the males here. They're out across the field. I think we probably need a patrol out here. Dispatcher was absolutely spot on, A1. Got a patrol on the way. So I ran back to the car and the dispatcher ran me back and said, have you got the vehicle details? And I said, oh yeah, because they were right in front of me. And I knew that one of these males would be coming back to the car because literally that was their form of transport. They didn't know where they were, didn't know what they were doing. So when I got back to the car, I said to the lady, I said, you take the back and I'll take the front. And she says, what? I says, let the tyres down on the car. She says, can we do that? I says, we sure can. So we started to let the tyres down. I got a small key on my belt and I pushed it in. With working on the farm, you get to know all these little tricks of the trade. Let the tyres down and through. Put the cap back on for them. The lady at the back wasn't having much luck, so I did the same. But while we were there, we heard the car flicking and then the alarm went off and I said to her, the bloke's around here somewhere. In the field opposite was a horse and he was pretending to whistle his dog So anyway, he came across, says, "That's my cop." I said, "All right, is it?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I've been looking for my dog with my girlfriend. It's, well, it's not my dog," he said. "It's my auntie's dog, and she lives in the village here." I says, "All right, okay." I thought, 7 o'clock in the morning, no coat on, because he took his fluorescent jacket off, and he didn't twig that I'd seen him in the car. So he gets in the car, and he says, "Right," he says, "I'm going now." I says, "Oh, no, you're not." And he said, "Why?" I says, "You got flat tyres." He says to me, "Yeah, bleep, 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 bleep." And I says, "Wow, life's tough, isn't it?" Anyway, I'd spoken to the dispatch, and she told me that the patrols were at Horton, so I knew they weren't far off. So I shut the door, put my bum against the door, and held it against the door so he couldn't get out of the car. The patrols were coming down the bank, and I waved to them. They came down and got him, and the rest is history. He's been charged. He's from Wolverhampton, and he'd already got alcohol in the car where he'd gone from somewhere else. And since then, we don't seem to have had any raids on the co-op. So I was more kind of, yes, stopped you. It wasn't for my own self-gratification.
Was that your immediate emotion then? Was, I can't believe that I've managed to do that? Was it excitement? Was it adrenaline? Was it almost a bit of fear? What were you feeling at that time?
At that time, I was excited. I know this sounds a bit corny, for the co-op, for all the ladies in there, because I knew them really well. And for the fact that these people had just been so brazen and thought it was their right to do that. And the fact that I was a person there, a member of the public, got no form of protection, but used, if I could say, my knowledge and my discretion in things, and just managed to capture them.
I'll just say for the record that the man that you did manage to stop was totally charged £435 in court. So that's a remarkable job on your part to be able to make that happen.
Yes, but I don't look at that like that. So I don't take praise for anything very easily. I don't look at that. It's more the case of, why should these people think that they can just walk into a community, a local shop that's very important to the local community, come in and think it's their right to take stuff without paying? No, I'm not a hero. No, I'm not anything fantastic. All I've done is challenge these people and said, no, you can't do that. And plus the fact, I think also, with me being a female, but I do think perhaps with men, sometimes females have a better, they are more shocked if a female approaches them and challenges them than if it's a male. And I think if ever they find out that I'm 60...
So what you're saying is, I'm going to be able to tell just by looking at you. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I think they'd have a bit of a meltdown, because it wouldn't do their ego much good, would it?
What I really want to know is, did he ever find his auntie's dog?
Of course not. He had a total mind blank as regards what his girlfriend's name was, what a mobile was, and even where the auntie lived. So, no, the auntie's dog was purely in his mind.
So if they want to get past Sue Bohannon, they're going to have to be a lot sharper than that, aren't they? They need to up their game.
They've got to come into my world, which people say to me is an absolute crazy world. So,
but that's obviously a good example for you to then show to new up-and-coming specials, that you don't have to be 6'5" and completely muscly and even a man in order to tackle these criminals, which is what they are. You have to really just have the guts.
And also, what I deem is quite important to remember, that you have got all this safety equipment. You've got your CS spray, you've got a baton on, you've got leg straps and all that, and handcuffs. But majority of the time, your mouth is your best defence. Because if you can, and this is what I used to do in the inquiry office, if you could talk people down and speak to people and explain stuff to people, a lot of the time you can help people out. Obviously, in this instance, there wasn't even going to be that communication, because you could tell there was not even that communication. But it just shows what you can actually do. You don't necessarily need a battle, and you don't necessarily need CS spray. You just need to think outside the box and use your common sense. And you can usually outwit these people because they're so trained on their thought patterns. We'll do this, this, this. But once you interrupt them thought patterns, they can't manage it. And I think that's comes with experience, comes with service. But yeah, I was really chuffed for the co-op more than anything else.
I was going to ask you, talking about saying it comes with experience, there also must be a confidence thing as well. I think if someone that is maybe not been doing the job for very long, they might think, oh, maybe I could get into trouble for doing X, or maybe I shouldn't put his tyres down. But because you've been there, you've seen it, you've done it, you know exactly what you can and can't do.
100%. If I hadn't have been who I was and the time I've been in, through all my experience that I've had through various departments with colleagues, working with police officers all the time, learning from police officers, that is a massive thing. But to me, this is where we should be learning and not being afraid to ask the questions, learning from our colleagues. If we are those people in those learned places, showing these people what you can and you can't do. So something like this is an experience, and hopefully people will actually learn from that. That as long as you're not actually damaging something, which I wasn't, because you can soon blow a tyre back up again. But my thought pattern with that is, if those fellows had got into that car and driven off, there was a patrol on the way, that would have probably ended up in a pursuit, where it would have ended up somebody potentially getting hurt, even killed. Whereas if they wanted to stop it, they would use a stinger, so the tyres would be blown out anyway. But by thinking about disabling that vehicle, you were stopping them people from escaping. And that's the way you think it's it. But as time goes on, you learn about those things and you automatically think about them things. So experience, you can't beat it, I don't think.
And the emotion with which you talk about what you did and your thought process, would you say that ranks, if not number one, at least among your best moments as a special?
It certainly is 100% in that respect. But the amount of experience and working with police officers and memories I've got from being a special outweighs everything, and it doesn't necessarily mean dealing with criminals. It's the officers, how they endear their way to you, how they look after you, and vice versa. So you can't take those memories away. And to me, being a special, half of that is creating those friends, them colleagues, being part of a team.
The humility with which you talk about how it's not catching criminals, it's the experiences that you make that have been the highlight of your time in the Special Constabulary, I think must serve as an inspiration to those that you're bringing up, that it's not about the glory, it's about the community spirit.
Yes, 100%. We can all arrest people, we can all send people to court, but I know, like in the front office, some of my best moments was a lady that got mental health problems, and all the people, professionals, were saying, no, she hasn't. And I was saying, yes, she has. And every time she'd come in and speak to me, and I'd save all that information. And with the police and community support officer, we sent this information back and we got this lady properly assessed. And she was schizophrenic. And this was all to do with something that had happened to her when she was a child. So there again, that is dealing with people, talking with people, not dismissing people. That it's so easy to say, oh, they're crazy, they've got mental health problems. Well, yes, they have got mental health problems, but sometimes they need to build up trust with you before they will actually express themselves.
and it's easy for anybody to dismiss them as having mental health problems, but there's always a reason for that mental health problem. So, yes, I think you've got to look at the specials as you can do what you as much as you want to do with it. You can develop as much as you want to do with it, but it's got to come from you to do that. You can't always expect everybody to have it set out for you. And I've got what I've got by asking questions, getting involved, always enjoying what I've done, to be fair. And I've brought some of my skills, hopefully, as being me as Sue Bohannon to it and having a laugh along the way.
Well, I hope you had a bit of a laugh along the way here as well. I'm just going to finish off with a couple of quick questions. First of all, sum up your time in the Specialist Constabulary in three words.
Exciting, experience, and part of the team and community.
And finally, how would you sell joining the specials to somebody that's maybe like you were in the 1980s thinking about signing up?
I would say if you want to learn, have experience and be part of a team, community and help people. I know this sounds so corny because how many times, oh, I want to help people. Yes, it's a different kind of help though. It's not necessarily locking people up and putting them in custody. It can be helping that old woman. It can be helping that person that has mental health problems. Each one is individual and each one is rewarding. So if you're thinking about doing it, definitely go for it.
Now, people listening may well have noticed when you're saying your name, there is Subo in there, which has become quite a popular nickname for you around the force. And you even, which I think is just hilarious, you even sign your emails off as Subo. So unfortunately, we haven't got time to see if you are Subo by name and Subo by nature. We'll have to let your a cappella rendition of I Dreamed a Dream wait for another time. But I did just want to say, Sue, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been insightful. It's been inspirational listening to your story, your career, your life in the force as a special. And if it can help one person sign up, then I think this podcast has done its job. And thank you to you as well for listening. Hopefully you have learned something from this. Please make sure that you do have a look at the description of this podcast. We're going to have information about the specials in general and also how you can sign up if you so desire. So Sue, once again, thank you very much and to you for listening. This is The Beat, the voice of Staffordshire Police, and we'll see you next time.